All right, Shabbos, say good morning. So today's daf is daf Zayin. We are picking up from Vav Amud Beis. Shabbos, say, remember again, we left off in the middle of an interesting sugya where Rava said that if a man tries to mechadesh, a man tries to betroth the woman by telling her, you are mekudeshes to me with this money, on the condition that what? That you give the money back to me. So Rava said she's not mikudeshes. And Rava went ahead and explained that Lamaisa said there are a number of different circumstances where if a man tries to affect a transaction, essentially with a matana amanas lahachsir, a gift, on the condition that the gift be returned, that the transaction is not satisfied. However, the Gemara said the one exception to this is truma. That if a person gives a kohen truma and says, kohen, this is your truma on the condition that you give it back to me. So he gives it to the kohen then gives it back, he has satisfied his obligation of truma. And I will say, just to clarify, when we say that he satisfied his obligation of truma, it means he's given truma, but lamaisa, again, he still can't eat that food once the kohen gives it back, but he does have the right to sell it to a different kohen. So says the Gemara. Says the Gemara, my kasava Rava. So we are 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 11 lines up from the bottom. So my kasava Rava. What does Rava hold? If you hold that a gift given on the condition that it be returned is a valid gift, afilu kulunami, then you should be able to affect the transaction, all these other cases as well. If, however, you hold that a matana amanas lahachsir, a gift on the condition that it be returned, is not called the matana, afilu truma nami lo. Even truma should not work. Furthermore, haravu darmatanos lahachsir shmamatan. Furthermore, so what do we have? We have Rava on record as saying that a gift, matana amanas lahachsir, means a gift that is given on the condition that it be returned, is in fact a valid matana. The Amar Rava, because Rava said, Heilich estrog zeh amanashu taksir eili naklo vech zero yatza ve'im lav lo yatza. We'll say, listen to this, we do this every year. This happens every single year. Person says, I don't have an estrog on the first day of Yom Tov. I want to borrow from my friend. So what does my friend say to me? This here, you may acquire this estrog on the condition that you give it back to me. E matana amanas lahachzir. And guess what? It works. So you see from here, this is your estrog on the condition, give it back to me. If I give it back to Reuven, then the matana was a good matana, and therefore I owned the estrog and fulfilled my obligation. If I don't give it back to Reuven, then what? Then again, I have not fulfilled my obligation. So you see from here that a gift given on the condition that it be returned is in fact a valid gift. Rather, Ravashi said, in reality, a matana amanas lahachzir will work, will acquire in all of the previous stated cases, with the exception of kiddushin. Why? Lefi she'ein isha niknis bechalipin. Because it was, here's the issue. We know chalipin is a flip active acquisition. Chalipin does not work to affect kiddushin. Chazal were concerned, the Rebbe was concerned, that when you try to go ahead and affect kiddushin through a matana amanas lahachzir, through a gift that is given on the condition that it be returned, it has the appearance of a chalipin transaction, and that, of course, is illegal. We, in fact, said, like Rava, in accordance with you, namely what Rabbo say, that Allah Chalamaisam Amatana Amanas Lahachsir will work in all of these cases, with the exception of Kiddushin. But the reason it will not work with Kiddushin is because it has the appearance of Chalipin. It has the appearance of this flip act of acquisition, and that is why it does not work. Fine. Amar Rava, Tein Mana Laploni, Ve'Kaddish. Well, so this is actually an interesting case. Ve'Kaddish Lecha. So a woman says to a man, give money to so-and-so, and I will become Mekudeshes to you. So we'll say, So what happens over here essentially is the following. Actually, the Mizrach Shas changes this to Va'akadesh ani lecha. So imagine the following situation. Rachel says to Reuven, if you give a mana to Shimon, I'll become mikudeshes to you, Reuven. Right? If Reuven, you give a mana to Shimon, I'll become mikudeshes to you. So the halacha is mikudeshes. It works. Why? Midin arev. Because it is like a guarantor. We'll say, now what does that mean? Arev, because how does a guarantor work? Arev, lav avagav delomati anol liyadei, ka mishabed nafshe. So we'll say when it comes to a guarantor, A guarantor obligates himself in the debt, even though what? He has no benefit from this transaction. So too, Hai Isisa Nami, Afa Gavdilo Mati Hano Aliade, Kamashabdo Omekanya Nafsha. So too, Rabbi Sayyid, so too this woman, even though she's not getting any benefit from this transaction now, she has the ability to be Meshabe, to ultimately give herself over to this man. So what the Gemara is suggesting is the following. The case of a guarantor teaches us that someone could go ahead and obligate themselves transactionally when one party takes action on behalf of the other. So for example, if A lends money to B, C essentially says, I'll guarantee the debt. A, if you lend money to B, I'll go ahead and guarantee the debt. So too the Gemara suggesting, or I should say Rava suggesting, that if a woman says to a man, essentially you go ahead, right, Reuven, you give money to Shimon, and with the benefit of you giving money to Shimon, I will become the Kudeshes to you, Reuven. It works, because she's like a guarantor. So the Gemara said, not like she's not a guarantor for the money, but it operates on the same mechanics as a guarantor. Furthermore, next case. Heilich manavis kachi leplon. Listen to this case, it's actually very interesting. Let's say, a man, Reuven says to Shimon, do me a favor, I want to be Mekadesh Rachel. So go ahead and take a money and give a money to Rachel. Give the money ultimately to Rachel. So what happens? We'll say in this case, look at Rashi. Heilech money viskachi duploni vushlucho ala shemekad shami shalo. So what happens? Here's the case. So Reuven says to Shimon, I be my shaliach and go be mekadesh Rachel. Here's a money. Well, so what happens? Shimon doesn't use Reuven's money. He uses his own money. So what's the halacha? Mikudeshes. It works. Even though what? Even though Shimon did not use Reuven's money, but Shimon used his own money, it works. Why? Nidin Eved Kenani. Because it operates on the same principle as an Eved Kenani. What does that mean? Eved Kenani lav afa gavdolo kacha servalo midi kakani nafshe. Because it was an Eved Kenani, even though he did not pay anything, ultimately, again, he's able to accomplish. So in other words, if an Eved Kenani is emancipated, he's able to be emancipated ultimately, again, without giving away any of his money, but yet he's able to acquire himself. Hai Gavra Nami, so to this individual, Reuven, Afa Gavdalo Kachasar Velo Midi, even though he's not out any money. Because remember, Shimon did not use his money to affect the Kiddushin. Kakani la lahai isasa. He is able to still acquire this particular woman. Okay. Tein mana laploni ve'akadesh ani lo. So we'll listen to this. If a woman says to Reuven, give money to Shimon. Listen to this. So Rachel says to Reuven, give money to Shimon. Ve'akadesh ani lo. And when you give money to Shimon, I'll become mikudeshes to Shimon. Mikudeshes midin shnehem. It works through a hybrid of the laws of Arev and Eved Kenani. What does this mean? So the Gemara says mikudeshes midin shnehem. Arev, because it works because of a guarantor. Lav afagav v'lo kamati anu aliyadei kamishabed nafshe. Because as we said before, when it comes to a guarantor, even though the guarantor doesn't get any benefit, he still obligates himself. So this woman also, even though she's not getting any benefit because the money is being given ultimately to Shimon, she still has the ability to obligate herself in this kiddushin. But that's ridiculous. Me dummy, how can you compare it? Arev, hai deka kani le kachasir mamoni. So also when it comes to an arev, ultimately again, there is an individual ultimately who is acquiring the services, i.e. the borrower. He is also the one who is out the money. Hai Gavra, but this man, Kakani le lahai isisa, velo kachasar. But in this case, we'll say where Shimon's receiving the money, Shimon is also acquiring a wife, but he's not out anything, meaning there's no giving of consideration. So the Gemara says, Eved Kenani Yochiyach. So we can prove this from Eved Kenani. How so? Delo kachasar mamoni, because we'll say Eved Kenani is able to acquire himself without being out any money. Vikakani nafshe. Me dummy, how can you compare this? Hasam hach deka makni kakoni. So we'll say here's the difference. In that case, the one who gives the money, i.e. the adon, the one who acquires is the one ultimately, again, who gets the money. Hacha hai isasa kamakni nafsha, velo kakanya velo midi. But in this case, the woman is giving over herself, but she does not acquire anything. To which the Gemara says, "Arev yochiach." We can prove this in the case of the guarantor. How so? Afagav delo kamati hana liyadei mishabei nafshe. Because we're saying in the case of the Arev, even though he's not acquiring anything, he still obligates himself. So ask the Gemara, "Boy Rava." So we'll say, so Rava raises another case. Heilech mana ve'akadish ani lecha. Take this money. This is an interesting case. A woman says to a man, take this money and I will become mikudeshes to you. Now Rashi clarifies what's the case over here. Ve'akadish ani lecha, Rashi says, v'kiblo, v'amrlo iskashli b'kach. So we'll say, here's the way this works. So Rachel says to Reuven, accept this money from me, and I will become mikudeshes to you. So she's giving him the money. Accept the money from me, I'll become mikudeshes to you. So the way this works is, he will accept the money, and then he turns around and says to her, become mikudeshes to me with the money I just received from you. So Marzuchi Rav Papa says, she's betrothed. Amar le Rav Ashi le Marzuchi Imkein, havi le nechasim sheyesh lehem achrayis, nicknim imachasim she'esh lahem achrayis. So we'll say, so what does this sound like? What this sounds like over here is that when the man acquires the money, he also acquires a wife. So we'll say, so what does that sound like? It sounds like a case, remember, nechasim she'esh lahem achrayis is like movable property. So it sounds like over here that, and remember, we'll see this later on, people are considered to be like nechasim she'esh lahem achrayis, like real property. So what this sounds like over here is what? Real property is being acquired through movable property. So the Gemara says, Vaha, because remember, he is acquiring a wife through the money. The money is the movable property. The wife is the real property, so to speak. And therefore, you're acquiring the wife through the money. Vaha ipchotna, but we learn just the opposite. Nechasim she'ein lahen achrayis, niknin in nechasim she'esh lahen achrayis. Normally, we say just the opposite. Namely, what? That you could acquire a movable property through acquisition of real property. So we'll say, what's the classic case of this? If I purchase land from someone, and a person also wants to sell me, I'm buying someone's house, and they also want to sell me their dining room furniture. So what's the halacha? When I acquire the house, I could acquire the dining room furniture by virtue of the house. So, but the opposite doesn't work. If I acquire the dining room furniture, I don't automatically acquire the house. Now, in this case over here, what's strange is the woman is saying to the man, acquire this money, and I'll become mikudeshes to you. So the Gemara says it works. So that sounds like he's acquiring real property, i.e. the woman, through the money. But we learn just the opposite works. Amar lei, misavris, the amar la agav. Do you think she's just saying this to him? No, what's the case over here? Ha-ha. Ba'adam chashuv askinan. Oh, I will say in this case over here, the man that she's marrying is a very important individual. The ba'ahi hanod the kabotam mekabel matanamine gamro umekanyin nafsha. I will say there is a value. I will say in general, this is actually an interesting idea. Rashi says ba'adam chashuv askinan she'ino ragil kabel matanos. She's becoming betrothed to what's called an Adam Chashuv, a very important man. And I will say, in general, there is a certain premium that's associated when someone who's important accepts a gift from you. Under normal circumstances, the Gemara operates with the assumption that Adam Chashuv, important people, don't accept gifts. So to get an important person to accept a gift from you is like a real, it ups your standing in life. So what's the case over here? She's marrying an Adam Chashuv. So she says to the Adam Chashuv, accept this mana from me, and through it I'll become mikudeshes to you. So we thought that the mechanism for the kiddushin was his acceptance of the mana, but that's not really what's happening over here. What's happening over here is, she is becoming mikudeshes through the value that is attributed to the fact that he will accept the gift. And we'll say, what I would say is like this, if I want an Adam Chashuv to go ahead and acquire a gift from me, I would pay. Meaning there's a premium to that. I would go to Reuven, I'd say, Reuven, I want you to go over to Adam Chashuv, convince him to go ahead and accept the gift. I will say, understand that getting important people in your corner is an important thing. Because if people know that I'm the kind of person who an Adam Chashuv accepts a gift from, that ups my standing in many different ways. So there's a value associated with that. So what's happening over here is she wants to marry this Adam Chashuv. She says, accept this money from me, if he accepts that gift, his acceptance has a value. That is a value that is that's a value for her. So she's essentially saying, I will become mikudeshes to you with the value of your having accepted a gift from me. Itmar nami mishmei de Rava, v'chein l'inyin mamona. So we'll say, so too he said in the name of Rava, that this concept works by mamona zol. And we'll say, what does that mean? Remember, the way Rava started out this sugi is the following. That there are certain circumstances where you could affect acquisition through the framework of Arev, are through the framework of Eved Kenani. So also remember, the framework of Arif says that you could become, that you could vest yourself in something, even though what? You have not received anything in return. So the paradigmatic example of that is an Arif is a guarantor, because a guarantor obligates himself in something without really receiving anything in return. That's what Arif teaches me. Eved Kenani teaches me that what? I could experience a change in status, even if what? Even if I'm not receiving anything or giving anything. So Rava just points out that these concepts don't just apply to affect Kiddushin, but rather these concepts apply in other monetary transactions as well. Look at Rashi. V'chein l'inyin mamona. Rashi says, Hanach shmaisa de Rava, v'yalfino Kiddushin midin arev midin eved kenani. These statements of Rava that learn out the effectiveness of Kiddushin from the mechanics and the frameworks of a guarantor or from a slave, came the inyan. So he says, came the inyan mamona, machalo sadavam lo tina kesef leploni. So we'll say, so too, for example, if I go ahead and I sell a field, I'm selling a field to Reuven, and I say to Reuven, give the money to Shimon, and my field is yours. That works. But one second, how does that work? Reuven's not giving me any money, because mostly that's the din of Arif. Arif says that you can obligate yourself to something, even though what? You are not receiving any consideration in return. So similarly again, he goes then and he says, give a money to Ploni, and he will acquire my fields. So we'll say, ultimately again, same thing, it works because of Eved Kenani. So the point that the Gemara is making over here is that these concepts don't just work by Kiddushin, but they work by transactions as well. So the Gemara says, so, I mean, that's kind of obvious. Kiddushin, Rabbi says, is unromantic as it sounds, but marriage, at least Kiddushin, is a transaction. So if it works by Kiddushin, it should work for other transactions as well. So the Gemara, I'll tell you why. Tzricha, this statement needs to be made. Diashmo inan Kiddushin, mishum daha esasanecha lei b'chol duhu. Rabbi says, it's an interesting thing. I would have thought that perhaps these cases work by Kiddushin. Why? Because what does a woman want more than anything in life? What does a woman want more than anything in life? To be married. So I will say, we're going to see Kiddush Lakish. I will say, Reish Lakish makes a profound statement. Dam Reish Lakish, Tav Lemesav Tandu, Me Lemesav Armala. Right? A woman would rather be with anyone than to be alone. In other words, that for a woman, the worst thing ultimately, again, is to be alone. And therefore, again, she's very ready and willing to settle. This doesn't make us feel very good. Right? But she's more than willing to settle if it means that she does not have to. We'll also understand this statement is clearly also reflecting a societal norm in the times of the Gemara, where marriage represented much more than companionship, but marriage also represented security, financial safety. It's a very profound statement. And therefore, again, I would have thought that it's only by marriage that we kind of bend the laws of transaction and allow for these hybrid type of transactions of amamona imalo, but by regular monetary transactions, I would say not. And if you would have just told me that this works by regular cases of monetary transactions, because again, in general, in cases of mamon, there could be mechila. In other words, I can convey something to someone and forgive payment altogether. If that's the case, and I understand why these other situations work, but perhaps by marriage it shouldn't work. Therefore, what? Therefore, tzricha. Therefore, I will say, I need Rava to state that these cases of Arev, in the case of Eved Kenani, apply not just to Kiddushin, but apply in other cases of transactions as well. Amar Rava, Rava said, it was an interesting case. Hiskachi l'chatziyai mikudeshes. If a man says to a woman, become betrothed to half of me. So I guess this is like the first example of commitment issues, right? Right? Become betrothed to half of me. So the halacha is mikudeshes. The Kiddushin works, they're married. Chatzyeich mikudeshesli. If, however, he says to her, half of you is mikudesh, in other words, I'm marrying half of you, Eina mekudesh. Suppose that such a statement is flawed and does not affect marriage. Some of that by the Rava. Maishna chetzeich mekudeshes li de'ina mekudeshes. So we'll say, so ask the Baita Rava, I don't understand. Why is it that when a man says to a woman, half of you is mekudeshes to me, I'm marrying half of you, it doesn't work. Why doesn't it work? Because isha amrechman, avalo chatzi isha. Very simply, because the pasuk says ish ki yikach isha. Pasuk says a man has to marry a woman. It doesn't mean you have to marry a woman. You have to marry a full woman. You can't be mekadesh half a woman. So if that's the case, hachanami isha amrachmanav lo chatzi ish. But say if that's the case, then same thing. Torah says in ish, a man has to marry a woman. So too, again, he has to fully commit himself to the marriage. If he only says, half of me is marrying you, that shouldn't be good either. Amalei, to which he said, hachi hashta sam isasalabe trei lo chazia. So here's the difference. A woman can't marry two men. A woman can't marry two men. And therefore, when he says to her, I'm marrying half of you, such a statement is irrelevant. There's no such thing. Either a woman is married or she's not married. Therefore, if you're not marrying all of her, you're marrying none of her. However, ela gavra, milo chazi lebeitre, but a man can marry more than one wife. Va'achi kamar, and this is what he means to say. Va'achi kamar la, so we'll say, when he says to her, become the kudeshes to half of me. You know what he's saying? De'i ba'ina leminsa v'achrisi nasibna. What he's really saying is what? When he says become mikudesh estapi, what he's really saying is what? I'm just telling you, I may marry other women as well. So when I say become mikudesh estapi, half of me, it means that I may end up marrying other women as well, which is permitted. Amrali marzotrebe drav mari ravina vinif shetula kidushe bekula. People say, I don't understand. When a man says to a woman that I'm being mikadesh half of you, I'm being mikadesh half of you, so why don't we say that in reality, when he makes that statement, the kiddushin automatically takes hold on what? On all of her. Why? What could this could be compared to? Milo Tanya. Did we not learn? Ha'omer ragla shalzu ola. We'll say, if a man says, the leg of this animal should be an ola, so what's the halacha? Tekula ola. We'll say, the halacha is that when you're mekadesh part of an animal, what happens? The entire animal becomes hekdesh. Vafid lamanda amra in kula ola. And even the Mandamo says that, no, if you consecrate the leg of the animal, the entire animal doesn't become a carbon. So we'll say that's only true if he did something like the leg, where the life of the animal is not dependent on it. But we'll say everybody will agree that's what, for example, if you say, I am makdish, I hereby consecrate the head of this animal. We'll say, what's the halacha? The entire animal is hekdish. To which the Gemara says, I don't understand, so why don't we say, why? Because what happens? Because you can't just be makdish. If you're makdish the head, right, the head is an indispensable part of the animal. Therefore, if you're makdish the head of the animal, that's tantamount to what? Being makdish the entire animal. So why don't we say the same thing over here? If you say to a woman, half of you is mikudesh as to me, then what Jabba will say? Why don't I say that by definition, kiddushin devolves upon the entire woman? To which the Gemara says, me, dummy, how can you compare the cases of carbon to marriage? Well, in many ways you could be married. Right? So me dummy, hasam behema hachadas acher. So we'll say, here's the distinction. Because remember, again, a behema has no das of its own. Behema has no das. Behema has no. So therefore, again, the status of the animal is up to its owner. The owner decides the status. There's no das acheres. Therefore, again, if I'm makdish the head of the animal, I understand why the rest of the animal becomes mikudeshes. However, hacha das acheres. Rabbi said over here in this case of the isha, there's someone else's das at play over here. Halo damya elalaha. So if you want to compare it to another case, this is what you can compare it to. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Behema shel shnei shutfin. Oh, well, so listen to this. Let's say you have an animal that's owned by two people. And what happened? Hikdish chetzya. So we'll say, let's say Reuven and Shimon own an animal together. Reuven says, my chelek is mikudeshes. My chelek is consecrated. And what happens? Then Reuven goes back and buys Shimon's half from him. V'chazer v'lakcha v'gdisha. And then Reuven now goes ahead and acquires the second half. And he acquires the second half and he consecrates the second half that he acquired from Shimon. What's the halacha? Kiddusha. The entire animal is holy, however, ve'ina kreva. But Rabbi said, it cannot be offered up on the Mizbeach. Why not? Look at Rashi, second to last line. Ve'ina kreva, hoil ubitchilas hekdisha, lo nires likarev shalokidsha elechetzia, vitimaker v'yakrev acharev v'damev. So Rabbi said, because there's an interesting halacha. Since at the initial point of consecration, when Reuben consecrated his half, when Shimon stole only the other half, that animal cannot be offered up. As we're going to see, the identity or the identity of an animal for consecration purposes is determined at the first moment of consecration. Therefore, when Reuven consecrated his half, you couldn't offer it up as a karban. Now, even though he subsequently buys out Shimon from his chilek and consecrates the second chilek as well, it has what's called kedushas damim. It has monetary sanctity, but may not be offered up on the mizbeach. So similarly, again, if you try to go ahead and swap out, remember, tamura is you try to exchange this animal for another animal, so both animals become kadosh. But it's tamura animal, meaning the swapped animal, will have the same status as the original animal. In other words, even the tamura animal cannot be offered up on the mizbeach, only has monetary sanctity. To which the Gemara says,
Correct.
Both these animals only have kedushas damim, monetary sanctity, but cannot be offered up on the mizbeach. Shmamina tlos. So we'll see, we learn three things from here. Number one, amud beis. Shmamina balechayim nitchin. So we'll say, so first of all, we learn that if an animal is for some reason precluded from being sanctified as a karban, it is precluded forever. We'll say, because that's what's happening in this case over here. Because when Reuven went ahead and sanctified his half, that animal could not be offered up on the Mizbeach. Therefore, lemaisa what? Therefore, again, it can never be offered. Ushmamina, number two, dichui meikara havi dichui. This is actually interesting. This is Machlokas Rashi points out that in order for an animal to be disqualified from being offered on the Mizbeach, there is an opinion that holds that at some point in time it had to be qualified, and only then could it become disqualified. But if it was never qualified even for a moment, then that disqualification is not necessarily ongoing. So you see from here, we passing that what? That even if an animal was never qualified for offering on the Mizbeach, it can still become permanently disqualified. And number three, v'shma mina yesh dichui bidam. And Rabosai, lesson number three is that even things that only have monetary sanctity could also go ahead and become permanently precluded from being offered up on the Mizbeach. Fine. So we'll say, so if you notice again, the Gemara seems to leave off that question unresolved, although what it does sound like over here is like we said originally, namely what? If a man says to a woman, become mikudeshes to half of me, the husband, so what's the halacha? Kiddushin works. Because we assume that, what is he saying? Just kind of putting you on notice that I reserve the right to marry additional women. Fine, the Kiddushin works. If, however, he says, I'm being Mekadesh half of you, ultimately the Gemara says such a statement does not work for Kiddushin purposes. Says the Gemara, Boy Rava, this is an interesting case, Chatzyech Bepruta, I'm sorry, Chatzyech Bechatzipruta, Bechatzyech Bechatzipruta Maur. It was an interesting case. Says the man says to a woman like this, I want to be Mekadesh half of you with the half of Pruta, and the other half of you with another half of Pruta. Okay, so what's the status of that statement? So we just got finished saying that's what? That a man can't be Mekadesh half a woman. So, but yet, what he's really doing over here is effectively he's being Mekadesh two halves, but he's doing it in two statements. What's the status of this statement? So on one hand, Kevan da'arla chatzi Pruta, Pascha. So on one hand, because he gives half a pruta for each of these transactions, perhaps he's breaking it up into two transactions. And I both say, if it's two transactions, then what? Then what? It doesn't work. Now, it doesn't work on two levels. It doesn't work because half a pruta is a meaningless financial unit. That's number one. And number two, what? Half a woman is a meaningless kiddushin. O dilma, mona b'holechu. I will say, perhaps, again, that's kind of just how he's counting his money, right? Half a pruta, this will go for half of you. Other half a pruta, this will go for the other half of you. But it's really considered to be what? One act of kiddushin. So says the Gemara, Imtim Salomar Mona Baholechu. See, if you want to say that in reality, he's just counting out his money, and he really means to be Mekadesh, the whole woman, with one whole pruta. What happens if he says, Chatzyech Bepruta, Vechatzyech Bepruta Mahu? What happens if he says, I'll be Mekadesh half of you with a pruta, and the other half of you with a pruta? What's the halacha? Kevan da amrla bepruta upruta. Paskalimil say, so we'll say in this case, maybe because he's saying a pruta by each half, what he's really putting the emphasis is on what? Is I'm only be Mekadesh half of you. In which case that's problematic. Oh, Dilma, bechol yome moni v'holichu. Or perhaps we assume that any money that's counted out over the course of a day is what? Is all part of one financial transaction. So if you want to say that's what? that all of the money counted out over the course of one day is considered to be like one transaction. And when he says, I want to be Mekadesh, half of you with a pruta, half of you with a pruta, that's what Rabbo say. That's all part of the same running transaction. What happens if he says, Chetzeich bepruta hayom, the Chetzeich bepruta lemachar? What happens if he says, Mekadesh, half of you with a pruta today, half of you with a pruta tomorrow? Mahu, what's the halacha? Kevan da amar la lemachar paska. Maybe once he goes in and says something about tomorrow, it's clearly two different transactions, and it won't be good because he can't be mekadesh half a woman. Oh, Dilma, ha'chik amar la. This is what he means to say: kiddushin maschelu ma'idna u'migmar lo nigmaru ad lemachar. Perhaps what he's saying is what they're both saying: the kiddushin is going to start today, but when is it going to end? It's a kiddushin party. It's going to end tomorrow. Okay, shnei chatzich mepruta mahu. What happens if he says, I want to acquire both halves of you with a pruta? Mahu, hacha vadai bechad zimna kamerla. On one hand, he's making this statement when, now, at one moment, O Dilma, ein miskadesh es lechatzoyim klal. Or perhaps, again, we don't allow kiddushin to be phrased in halves. So we'll say the answer to all of these questions is teiku. So we'll say again, we're not sure about any of these particular situations. Again, we'll say, you understand, whenever you see a teiku, if a man were to do this, we would have to rule a chumra. Right? Whenever you have a teiku, which means, again, the other one is going to have to answer it for us. If a person did use these lashonos, we'd have to rule the chumra. We'd have to deal with them in a stringent fashion. Bay Rava. Well, it's another interesting case. Bay Rava. Shnei benoseich l'shnei bonai bepruta. So listen to this. Reuven has two sons. Shimon has two daughters. So now remember, now Reuven's sons are adults. Reuven's acting as the shaliach on behalf of his sons. Shimon's daughters, let's say, could be ketanos, could be minors. And Shimon's accepting kiddushin on behalf of his daughters. So what does Reuven say? Reuven says, look, let's make a deal. I'll give you one pruta. I'm representing both of my sons. I'm going to give you one pruta for both of my sons to effect kiddushin with both of your daughters. So we'll say, Mal, what's the halakha? It's an interesting question. Baster no sin umakabal azlinan vaha ika mamona. O Dilma, baster dido azlinan vaha leka. So we'll say, hear this question. So the question is, we know that there has to be a pruta given over. So who do we look at? Do we look at the people transacting this transaction, the two fathers? In which case, the father of the chassanim has given over an item of value to the father of the kalos. Namely, again, what? A pruta. Or do we look at this at the vantage point from the married parties? In which case, again, each couple only has the exchange of a half a pruta of consideration, to which the Gemara says, teku. We're not sure. Boira papa. Bosei, another interesting case. Bitcha uparascha bepruta mahu. Bosei, so this is an interesting case, right? I go over to Reuven, I say, Reuven, here's the deal. I'd like to marry your daughter and buy your cow. I'll give you a pruta, right? I'll give you a pruta for both of them. Right. Jose, if anyone says this, if this is a potential son-in-law, there are a lot of choice words, a lot of choice words to get at. So what happens? So he wants to go ahead. Bitcho parascha bepruta. So my Rabbi says, what's the halacha? Mi aminan bitcha bechatzi pruta parascha bechatzi pruta. So is he saying I want to acquire your daughter for half a pruta and the cow for half a pruta? Is that what he's saying? And Rabbi says, in which case again, it wouldn't be good for either, because it was, remember, you could acquire movable property with kesef, but it has to be significant kesef as well, so it won't work for either. Oh, Dilma, maybe what he's saying is the following. Bitcha bepruta uparascha bemeshicha. Maybe what he's saying is that, no. The pruta is for the kiddushin. The cow I want to acquire with meshicha, which is simply taking possession of it. Teku. We're not sure what his words mean. Boy Ravashi. Similar Ravashi. Boy Ravashi is falling kasha. Bitcha bekarka acha bepruta. What happens if a man, I go over to Reuven and say, Reuven, I want to acquire your daughter and your field for a pruta. Mahu, how do we interpret that statement? Betcha bechatzi pruta, bekargacha bechatzi pruta? Is he saying, I have a pruta for the field, I have a pruta for the girl? O Dilma, betcha bepruta, bekargacha bechazaka. Or maybe he's saying what? I want to acquire your daughter with a pruta, but the karka I want to acquire with chazaka. To which the Gemara again says, Teku. But say, obviously, all of these situations, you're dealing with cases now where you could have a situation where, let's say, a man made the statement and then died, or the man made the statement and then went overseas, so he didn't have the ability to clarify with him what exactly he meant by that statement. It was another interesting case. And this actually is going to be a very lemaisa situation. So who gavered the Aktish Bishiroi? So we'll say there was a man ultimately you betrothed the woman with silk. With silk. Rabba Amri Amar Lo Tzrichi Shuma. So what Rabba says, that you do not need to appraise the value of the silk at the time of the Kiddushin. Rav Yosef Amar Tzrichi Shuma. Rav Yosef says, no, you absolutely need a valuation. So the Gemara says, so what's the case? So was that if the man said to the woman, become mikudeshes to me with the value of the silk, no matter, or I should say, become mikudeshes to me with the silk, no matter what its value is. So we'll say, meaning, there's one thing we know about the silk, which is what? It's more than a pruta. So don't worry about how much it's worth, but just become mikudeshes to me with whatever it's worth. So the Gemara says, so everyone will agree that you don't need a valuation of the silk at the time of the Kiddushin. So we'll say, so here's where the case comes up. Right? If he said to her, become mikudeshes to me with this silk that's worth 50 zuz, then what? Velo shavu chamshin. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, idam lo chamshin, velo shavu chamshin, ha lo shavu. So we'll say, if he said, become mikudeshes to me with silk that's worth 50 zuz, and it turns out that what? That the silk was worth 30 zuz, then it's obvious that what? That the Kiddushin won't work. Keeply, you listen to this. When do they argue? The Amr Chamshin, where he says to her, become mikudeshes to me with silk that's worth 50 zuz. B'shavu Chamshin. And I will say, in fact, it turns out that it was worth 50 zuz. But what? At the time of the Kiddushin itself, we did not know the value of the silk. Rabba Amr lo tzrichi shuma. So Rabba says, we do not have to wait for evaluation at the time that the silk is given to Shavu Chamshin, because of also it turns out that in fact was worth 50 zuz. Rav Yosef Amar Tzrichi Shuma. Rav Yosef says, no, it requires evaluation. Why? Kevan de'isa salo v'kiya b'shuma. Since woman doesn't necessarily know the value of things, lo samcha daita. She does not commit herself fully to the marriage without knowing the value of the item being given for kiddushin. So we'll say, so this is an incredible yisod. Just so you should know, this yields a very important contemporary practice, which is, why underneath the chuppah, when the chassan goes ahead and gives the kala the ring, the first thing that the Mesader Kiddushin must ask the chassan in front of the Edim is, chassan, is the ring worth at least a pruta? Is it worth, now again, we know the answer, but it's important for the chassan. Why? Because again, you get into an incredible issue. Let's say the chassan gives a girl, let's say chassan gives the kala a beautiful ring, diamond wedding band. He's a big spender. So she looks at this, man, it's got to be worth at least $10,000. Turns out that's what? It's cubic zirconia. Right? It's not diamonds. So it's worth $1,000. Very beautiful. It's worth $1,000. So we'll say, if she thinks that the vehicle for her marriage... Oh, David, are my numbers totally off, right? Totally off. Okay. Right? Okay. So... So she thinks it's worth $10,000, but it's worth $1,000. We'll say it's actually profoundly problematic. She's not married. Because if she assumes that the vehicle for Kiddushin is worth X, but it's really worth Y, she entered into, remember, this is a transactional reality. She enters into transaction with one mindset. If the mindset is wrong, that undermines the transaction. That's why on the chuppah, what we essentially do is we say, is it worth a pruta? Sakala, when you are accepting this ring as consideration to create the transaction of marriage, you're not accepting it based on whatever its actual value is. You're accepting it with the value of a pruta, that it's worth at least a dollar. That is the underpinning. That is the foundation for your transaction. Therefore, Abosai, Rabba and Rav Yosef have this machlokas. If he's going ahead and he says to her, become mikudeshin with the silk. So if he's saying the silk, whatever it's worth, fine. We don't care because she's not a match. Meaning he's saying to her, whatever it's worth, essentially, as long as it's worth a pruta, I'm already becoming mikudeshes to me. Once he begins assigning dollar amounts, values to the silk, so I will say at least, again, at least Rav Yosef is going to be of the opinion, we need an actual appraisal of the silk before Kiddushin will happen, in order to make sure that the money, the value that she thinks that the silk is worth, is actually the amount of money the silk is worth. Because if she's wrong, and she thinks it's worth more, but in fact it's worth less, they may actually undermine and erode the very underpinnings of effective Kiddushin. We'll stop over here for today. I just want to share with you a short idea from the parasha.